Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need. Strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. It pits the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Kicking it with a Sirius XM Channel 159. Good conversation. We're just trying to educate a little bit. I've made a lot of mistakes over the years, people, and I still do. I've gotten sloppy over the last couple of weeks, to be honest with you. I've reverted back to some not bad habits. I don't know what it is. Like, I swear to God, like, I've something clicked or. I was worried about it, too. I actually thought about it. I was like, man, if I don't get better at this, it's going to be bad for me when I'm old, right? I don't have a pension plan or anything like that, right? So, you know, I'm going to have to be like Rosenthal in Casino. I got to be able to pick winners the rest of my life. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I've been doing this a long time. I'm kind of just sort of spinning my wheels here. And then I changed my approach, and I realized, and I've always said it, like, you can make a living. You can honestly make a living betting on sports. But the problem is the type of people that are willing to make a living betting on sports are not the type of people that are disciplined, right? It's sort of like life's ironies. Like, it's sort of a... So that's why you'll notice now there's a lot of these successful people like Dr. Bob, Drew Dinkmeyer, right? Like, you got these guys that, like, they're Warren Sharp, like, is an engineer. You know what I mean? Like, you sort of have these people that understand risk reward, risk management, percentages, numbers, right? They're numbers people, but they have a patience. They're not degenerate gamblers. I've been betting since 1982, right? Just sort of as a guy on the street and betting. These guys were going to Ivy League schools and got into football through numbers after. It's, you know, we're from different worlds, right? But these guys are killing it because they're disciplined. Right? They're disciplined. They stick to their plan, and they have a plan, and they're confident in it, and they stick to it. And it's successful. And that's the best advice that I can give to anybody, is whatever your plan is, stick to it. There is no one plan. There is no, hey, listen, just do this, and you'll make a living betting on sports. There is no one plan. It's like stock markets. There's no one way of doing it. There's a lot of different ways to make money. There's a lot of different ways to make $1 million in this world, okay? Right? So there's no, like, you know, one way, one right way to do it. But I'm sure all successful people will tell you there's common traits, right? You know, you can talk about goals, and goals always sounds just sort of like lame-ish, like 20-minute workout-ish. Oh, it's New Year's Eve, and these are my goals for this year. No, it's not about goals, but it's like, all right, you know, by the end of this month, this account's going to have this much money on it. We're going to bet this. We're going to stick to the same. You know, my mistakes that I've made in the last couple of weeks have been, and I know not to do this, and I've done it like 3 times. I put way more on one game than another. 0 for 3. More gamblers telling me, don't be an idiot. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the D-gens, and everybody else in between. Class is in session. We're telling you the do's and the don'ts. And the don'ts, evidently, is don't bet on the New York Jets. Although they made a game of it, didn't they? They lost by 15 points this evening. The game goes way over the number. We cashed a bunch of props, and we hit the teaser. But who cares what already happened? Let's tell you what's going to happen. We got some big games coming up. We got another big guest coming up. Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports, will join us. We'll talk some fantasy football to help us correlate it into the props as well. College football this weekend, some big games. Kind of a weird situation in which Wake Forest and North Carolina's football game will not count in the ACC standings because they weren't scheduled to play each other. Their schedule was a little light, and they said, you know what? We always have good games. We don't like each other. Let's play each other. Great on them for doing this. Wake Forest, though, don't think because it doesn't count in the ACC standings that it's not important to Wake Forest who are ranked 9 right now in the college football rankings. Wake Forest are plus money, too. How do we pass up on a team that just keeps winning? Wake Forest plus 118 right now. The total's going up. It's up to 77.5. Ohio State laying 14.5 at Nebraska. Nebraska under 6.5 is another winning ticket that we're looking forward to cashing. It's interesting that Ohio State are only laying this type of number. And something that people don't really talk about enough, how good are Ohio State anyways? How good are Ohio State? We know that Ohio State can beat the crap out of bad teams, but, you know, when they play sort of average teams, we had a game. Penn State gave them all they can handle last week. Interesting that Ohio State are only 14-point favorites against a really sort of mediocre and bad Nebraska team, to be honest. Georgia Bulldogs, they're laying 39.5 points to Mizzou. They're laying 39.5 points to Mizzou, and like everybody else, Georgia has a rape investigation going on right now as well. Man, it just is daily with this stuff. It doesn't end. Ugly accusations with the Phoenix Suns owner. Listen, guys, I just started reading this like during the last commercial break, and sounds like he's a raving racist, according to the allegations. Except we've been hearing this stuff about Phoenix for a little while. There's a lot of stuff to get to still. Lakers lose, blow a massive lead. Oklahoma City not only covers the point spread, but wins the game outright. Late Night Anger Management Class, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Expert picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Welcome to the bullpen, Derek.
Hello.
Hi. Derek, this indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination. What are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team look?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Right.
How does my team look? Not good. Sparky Anderson, WKRP. Not good at all. I'm in a lot of trouble. Fast times at Ridgemount High. I'm 3-5. My season is falling apart. I just got my ass handed to me by Ventura, of all people. Everybody's injured on my team. I got big problems. And I got my running back, DeAndre Swift, is on a bye week. Leonard Fournette, bye week. So I got two guys on a bye week. I got Saquon Barkley, who's out and injured. Imagine this. That's my running backs. All right? It's my running backs on one team. It's a solid roster, right? A solid stable that I have here. I have DeAndre Swift, Leonard Fournette, Saquon Barkley, and Kareem Hunt. DeAndre Swift is on a bye week. Leonard Fournette's on a bye week. Saquon Barkley has COVID, and Kareem Hunt is injured. I'm screwed.
Got to step it up, Gabe. Got to step it up. And if you lost to Ventura, that's not good.
I'm absolutely screwed here coming into this weekend, in which I have no choice. Whatever, man. I'm just going to have to plug in, like, whatever scrap I can get, like, here. It's brutal. So I'm going to need a miracle from, like, who do I have playing, actually? Like, I have Justin Herbert against Philadelphia. He should have a pretty big game. I got Tyreek Hill against the Packers. Oh, God, Mike Evans on a bye week, too. I could plug Jalen Waddle in for Mike Evans. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. This team's going down, shot down in flames. Fast times at Ridgemount High's in a lot of trouble. But hey, you never know. You never know. So, man, I gotta tell you, time's just flying by. I can't believe, like, we're going into week nine. We're in week nine now. We are in week nine of the National Football League, and it's November. Like, think about it. Like, boom, man, our anniversary shows are coming up. It freaked me out the other night. I'm like, man, 20 years is really, like, wow. And so, in other words, that good UFC card is popping up because I'm seeing the annoying Colby Covington on Twitter all day. So they had they had some of the stare downs today. And Usman sort of pushed him a little bit. Tried to scare him and rattle him. Seemed like he scared more than he did Colby, to be honest. Dana White got rattled.
Gave him a little shove.
Yeah, but it was more of the head fake thing that he was fast with it. Like, you didn't see it coming. Like, they were standing face to face and Dana White's in between them. And Usman sort of did like this quick head thing and he sort of shoved him. And Dana was like, oh, like Dana got scared. Like, Colby seemed mad for real after. He was like, you son of a. He didn't like that he did that. But so for the record, Usman's a -300 favorite. These are the updated odds right now. Kamaru Usman, -300. Covington is +245. Covington's now denying that he got his jaw broken. And Usman kept pointing to the jaw. So Usman's talking about wanting to fight Canelo. Canelo was asked about it today and basically blew it off and said the guy's just looking for a payday. And clearly he is. You got a lot of nerve, Usman. I always hate when these dudes are fighting somebody and they're always talking about fighting someone else. Remember Ngannou did that in his last fight, even though he won. But Ngannou was talking about fighting. Who the hell was he? He wanted to fight whoever he wanted to fight. Oh, Anthony Joshua. Yeah, or Tyson Fury and Joshua, right? I think it was Anthony Joshua. Whatever. It's like, dude, you UFC guys can't box. Like, what part of this don't you get? Kamaru Usman can't. Like, Canelo Alvarez versus Kamaru Usman? Like, come on, man. In a boxing ring?
He's not famous enough, Gabe. He's not even famous enough. That's why
I know, but
like he nobody wants to buy Kamaru Usman fights. They want to buy him knocking out Colby Covington.
I don't know if Kamaru Usman could beat Jake Paul, bro, in a boxing ring.
You're right. He's not a boxer.
I'm dead serious.
You're right.
I hate that. It's painful to say that. It kind of makes the UFC look bad. But like honestly, Usman, like you're running your mouth about fighting Canelo Alvarez. Come on, bro. What are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? It's just stupid. Right? Like, I don't know, he's trying to make a name for himself and stuff like that, but like, you know, like it's just, you know, like I said, fight Jake Paul. You'll make more money anyways. Paul will pay you a ton of money if you want to do it. He'd do it. He'll think, you know what? He'll figure these guys can't box. Remember Woodley couldn't beat him. So anyways, Usman's minus 300. Covington's plus 245. I'm not going to... I don't hate Colby Covington. Covington's annoying, though, so I don't like him. You know what I mean? Like, between the two, and I'm not an Usman fan, per se, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a big Usman guy. I think Usman's a great fighter. I do think he's a great fighter. But Colby Covington really is one of the most annoying people in the UFC. He's not as bad as Conor McGregor. He's annoying as hell, though. But the thing with Colby is, it's an act. Conor's just a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, Colby, it's an act. But I don't think Colby Covington, and I know, in fact, people that know Colby Covington in real life, and they say it's an act. They said he's just whatever. You know what I mean? He's not saying he's the greatest guy in the world, but he's not, like, you know what I mean? He's not the biggest tool bag. It's like he jumped on that little MAGA thing because it worked for him. And look, everybody hated him. So he put a Make America Great Again hat on, right? And at least he went to the White House. I mean, the guy's got no fans, no friends, you know what I mean? Like, no one really likes him, right? So, you know, he jumped on that train, right? Let's just be real. Hey, but like,
one of the best things about Colby Covington is watching his new team, kind of, you know, MMA masters build themselves around him, and they're all Brazilians, which I find it comical because any Brazilian, you know, deep down, you can't love Colby Covington.
Yeah, but they know it's like wrestling for him. It's like wrestling. They know it's not real. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely don't. I'm with you. It's an act completely. Yeah.
Because, like, exactly. That's why they're funny.
They're full-blown Brazilian.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why, you know, what was it, Masvidal, his buddy before, you know what I mean? He's Cuban, you know what I'm saying? Like
Poirier, Masvidal.
Yeah, and all these guys, like, they all like Covington. Like, you know what I mean? They all say, nah, it's just an act, like, kind of. They don't want to sell him out, but they're like, he's not really like that, you know? Like you said, like, it's like wrestling. You know what I mean? He saw the Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen's the one that started that stuff, right? With the Brazil stuff and... Conor's like over the top now, though. You see Conor's now coming and going after that Cosmo guy, huh? Saying he sleeps with his sister and his cousin and stuff. He deleted the messages. Like, I'm telling you, man, Conor's going to go over the line one of these days, and he's going to cross the line.
Like, yeah, he decided to thank the whole country of India earlier today because they invented chess and they invented something else and yoga, and thank God Indians are alive. He was loving the country of India and everybody that lives in it.
Yeah, well, he's trying to sell something there, probably. Oh, God, he's a jerk. So Covington's a jerk, but he's a good fighter. He is a good fighter. And he's a tough dude. You got to give him credit. He is a tough dude, but we'll give our picks tomorrow. I'm trying to find here. Let me get the total rounds in this fight. This is going to be a long fight again. I think Usman would like nothing better than just sort of prolong it and beat the crap out of him if he could and hurt him. And Covington is a tough dude to finish. So, you know, Covington's dangerous, man. You know, one thing, Matthias, with Covington that's impressive is his stand-up is pretty good, man. Like, that style is a pain in the ass. Like, most people, like, Usman's a great athlete, so he can deal with it. But just sort of that straightforward stalking, and he just keeps throwing, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have that, you know, Weidman, you know what I mean? I'm going to knock your ass out. It's just sort of that volume of, and it's annoying because he's in your face all the time. Like I said, he's annoying, but you got to say he's a good fighter. Like, you can't deny that Covington's a good fighter. I'm seeing 3.5, over or under 3.5 rounds. I like the over. Jamie Eisenberg next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're kicking it. Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Styling and profiling. Let's talk some fantasy football right now with the best in the business. Jamie Eisenberg steps up at NCBSSports.com. Jamie, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, Jamie, I wake up, I'm on the West Coast, so I feel like I'm always a couple of hours behind the rest of the world when I wake up. But I never know what to expect, man, when I hit refresh in the National Football League. And man, what a year it's been on a weekly basis. I imagine you've been very busy. A lot of adjustments need to go on, right? A lot of guys have been out this year. A lot of adjusting going on.
This week has been one of the more crazy weeks, I think, that we've maybe seen ever, you know, when you factor in the trade deadline. And clearly it wasn't a big, you know, fantasy relevant trade week. But, you know, you factor that in and then you add to the fact of the Henry Ruggs situation. But then, you know, COVID and injuries and everything that's gone on with it. It's just been absolute madness. And that's before we even step on the field for a first game.
So let me ask you, and I know you're not a doctor, but from what I understand, Scantling, Devontae Adams, and Lazard, are all three of them going to be back? Because that's the big thing, right? You got Jordan Love playing. You know, Jordan Love's going to need some help, but what are you hearing as far as the status is concerned, and what are you expecting from Jordan Love and this Packer offense?
I think we got a sample size of what the Packer offense will look like in the game against the Cardinals. Obviously with a different quarterback, but they're going to probably be run-centric. You know, it's a different way to approach the Packers because, you know, when you have Aaron Rodgers, there's the threat of clearly, you know, still one of the best, if not the best quarterbacks in the game. Jordan Love does not bring anything close to that, but he does have now his full complement of guys around him. Lazard is playing, Adams is playing. We'll find out about Valdez-Scantling for sure, but everybody else will be there minus Robert Tonyan, who's out for the season. So you're looking at a situation where, you know, if Jordan Love doesn't throw up on himself, which, you know, clearly could be the case for a youngster playing in one of the toughest environments, Arrowhead Stadium is going to be loud and ready to go. You know, they need a big win as well. I think he'll be okay. You know, so Adams goes from a top five fantasy receiver to more of a top 15 guy, but still someone you're starting. I would get rid of the peripheral guys just because I don't want to trust them. I don't want to trust Lazard or Cobb or MVS if he plays. Aaron Jones is still a must-start guy because I think he's going to get as many touches as he can handle. And then A.J. Dillon becomes a sleeper, you know, just because, again, I think he's going to also have an opportunity to touch the ball. If they don't get run out of the building early, then their run game will be fine. If they get run out early, which we know the Chiefs haven't been doing that to teams lately, then I think you'll have to see if, you know, Jordan Love can hang with Patrick Mahomes, and probably that's a failure for the Packers.
Are you expecting Jordan Love to contribute fantasy-wise with his legs? I mean, you figure even if it's not, like, he's not known for that, rookie quarterback, sometimes impatient in the pocket, could lead to a couple of scrambles and taking off. Like, what, you know, I'm curious. I'm looking forward to seeing Jordan Love play and what he's going to bring to the table and how much Matt LaFleur trusts him.
Yeah, you know, their investment's about to find out. You know, they're what they did. You know, so yeah, I'm curious as well. I think he'll run a little bit. You know, the Packers do a lot of design stuff for Aaron Rodgers, where he probably throws more than he needs to, you know, throws more than he would run. So there'll be some rollouts. There'll be some design plays. You know, I mean, maybe they do a few things that are more creative than they would do with Rodgers at his age versus Jordan Love's time in the league. So I think there'll be some opportunities there. But for a fantasy quarterback, he's only really useful in 2QB and super flex leagues. I can't imagine that you need him in a one quarterback league unless you're completely stuck. So, you know, we have the few things at play that we're talking about. Obviously, no Rodgers. Four teams on a bye. You know, the big quarterback missing is clearly Tom Brady, but Russell Wilson is also out. So the people that have been trying to find answers for him. So, you know, you're down to only 28 quarterbacks for the week, and, you know, you're going to need some options there. But in any event, you know, I think Jordan Love has a chance to make some plays. So I'm not going to completely run away from him, but he's not somebody that I would prefer to start.
As far as the Raiders are concerned, we're in conversation with Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports. As far as the Raiders are concerned, how do you think they attack this New York Giant football team this week? Will it be on the ground when you're looking at the Raiders? How is their passing attack affected? Right now, listen, Ruggs, and I don't want to trivialize anything, but we're just talking fantasy football here, guys, as far as the matchup is concerned. But Ruggs, you know, he wasn't a high-volume guy, right? I mean, I bet him on the props all the time to go over in his yardage. It only took a couple of catches, but he would only usually have a couple of catches. So I guess I'm asking, how much of an impact does this have on with Ruggs not being in this Raider offense, and how do you see them approaching this game against the Giants?
I think what they'll try and do is, you know, probably, you know, a little bit more of Bryan Edwards in that role, a little bit more of Zay Jones in that role. You know, maybe we see a little bit more of Darren Waller going down the seam, you know, a few yards deeper. But my guess is it's going to be a run-heavy approach. The Giants have struggled against the run. Derek Carr's been really good, you know, spreading the ball around to begin with. Like you said, you know, this is more of a situation from a scheme standpoint than a production standpoint, because what Henry Ruggs did was he would push the defense back. You'd have to account for his speed down the field. You have to.
He opened things up for other people, didn't he, Jamie? Right.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, they don't have that element now, at least as their roster is currently constructed. So I think when you look at what, you know, now Waller and Hunter Renfrow and Bryan Edwards, they all should get an uptick in targets. And we'll see how Derek Carr, you know, sort of manages getting them the ball. So I think Carr's going to be fine. You know, I think he's a low-end starter. I think you look at, obviously, Josh Jacobs coming back from the chest injury. He's been on a nice little roll, you know, as long as he's been healthy. So there's an opportunity there for him to still be successful as well.
So what's the situation with the New Orleans Saints quarterback situation? So Trevor Siemian came in, but obviously Taysom Hill was injured, and we've seen the Saints able to win with Taysom. And you want to talk about adjusting on the fly, man? Sean Payton's really had to adjust on the fly this year. And oh yeah, by the way, Michael Thomas is never coming back.
Right. No, it's been a crazy year, and you know Sean Payton manages to get this team to the playoffs, and who knows, maybe they win the division. I think you're looking at the coach of the year in the NFL.
Yeah, no kidding. I know that they're still in this thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, defense has played great. Alvin Kamara is obviously a stud. Taysom Hill, I think, could be a fantasy stud. You know, and we saw that last year. You know, the four games that he replaced Drew Brees, three of them he was really successful. The one that he wasn't was that crazy game against Denver when they didn't have anybody at the quarterback position. So I think you look at what he does on the ground. You know he's going to get you those type of numbers. If he can cobble together some success with the receivers, and like you mentioned, there's no Michael Thomas. That was a big part of his success throwing the ball last year when he did throw it, was to Michael Thomas. So I hope he goes to Alvin Kamara. We know the storyline last year was he wasn't using him in the passing game, but I think that'll change. And so I like Taysom Hill. I think if he's available, you pick him up. I think he's got an opportunity this week against the bad Falcons defense to be successful. So I'm excited to see what he can do moving forward.
Well, Jamie, you and I spoke, we've spoken a couple of times through the year, but I remember we spoke right before the year, and I told you, so I rolled the dice on Saquon. I paid the price. You know what I mean? I rolled it. I did it. I got him. Like, I was drafting 10th. He was there. I needed a running back. I paid the price, and, you know, it's disappointing, and I want to ask you about Odell and the Cleveland Browns. I mean, it's sad that it comes to this, isn't it? That, like, and I don't understand why they just didn't trade him, or does nobody want him? And, I mean, the day after the trade deadline, they send him home. Strange, and, you know, it's too bad. But, hey, it is what it is. But big game between the Bengals and the Browns this week. What's your take on this match? I think just from a football standpoint, I'm giving the Bengals a mulligan for last week against the Jets, right? They're a young team. They had a lot of big wins. But this is a big, big division game. What's your take on this game, or what's your take on the Odell situation? And Cleveland's offense and the pressure on Baker seems like things are unraveling there.
It feels that way, but you know the thing. First off, I think from the Bengals' perspective, you know, classic trap game last week, beat the Ravens, looking ahead to the Browns, and they got caught with a backup quarterback, having the game of his life. So I think that they'll bounce back in a big way. The defense will perform better, but it's not a defense you want to trust because the Browns' offense should be good. But obviously Burrow, Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon, those guys are must-starts. T. Higgins is a borderline starter. And then Tyler Boyd's more of a desperation play. Same thing with C.J. Uzama. I think from the Browns' perspective, you almost want to see Beckham not there, because what we saw last year was Jarvis Landry was amazing when Beckham wasn't on the field, and you'd like to see that type of production again, because the two of them there, they negate each other. So at least if you have one of them gone, Beckham not being on the field opens up things for Jarvis Landry, and we saw 10 targets last week. He averaged 18.8 PPR points per game in the last five games of last season and the one game that he played this year without Beckham, because remember, he got hurt in week two. Those six games, he's been really good. So I hope for everybody involved that Beckham can leave Cleveland, go to a team that he can have some success with, a quarterback who will feature him. As simple as scenarios like New Orleans and New England, even though the quarterback situation there isn't great from a fantasy perspective, but imagine if he ends up in Kansas City with Mahomes or in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. You know, we know that those teams are looking for complementary help to their stars. Beckham would be a fantasy stud once again. So if people are dropping him because of this scenario and they're not paying attention, absolutely go pick him up. If he's on your team, hold on to him, because again,
interesting.
If he's free, then there's a lot to like. But for this week, it looks like Beckham not going to play. Landry's in a good spot. Nick Chubb should have a bounce back game, shaking off the rust from the calf injury. If there's no Beckham as expected, then maybe you take a flyer in deeper leagues on David Njoku, just because they'll need somebody else to catch passes. And also take a look, somebody to pick up now is Donovan Peoples-Jones, because he's had some good moments when the two guys have been injured. He's coming back from a groin injury. If he's out there, he could have some plays also.
And yeah, he was playing good football before the injury. Michigan Wolverine, Peoples Jones, Jamie Eisenberg with it just for a couple more moments. So, yeah, Jamie, I'm a Bills fan. In fact, we got about a minute and a half here. I'm a Bills fan, so I'm a little bit concerned about the Manning curse. Everyone going on the Manning cast loses after, but we are playing the Jags this week. But what are you expecting from this game from a fantasy standpoint? And Zach Moss got like 64-65% of the action out of the backfield. Is this something you expect to see moving forward? Would you be surprised if Moss got a touchdown or two this weekend?
He's due. I think it's now three games in a row he hasn't found the end zone. We like to say on our Fantasy Football Today podcast when we get to games like this, start all, sit all. So start all your Bills, sit all your Jaguars. You know, there's not a lot of into it. The Jags don't have a lot of hope without James Robinson there, and it's looking like he's not going to play. So if you're desperate, maybe Carlos Hyde has 15 touches last week. But obviously from the Bills' perspective, should be all systems go. I wouldn't panic about Emmanuel Sanders with the four targets, no catches last week. I think this will be a game where Josh Allen gets back to him. Cole Beasley will continue to be heavily involved. I was curious to see what they were going to do without Dawson Knox, and clearly Beasley was the one that benefited. Sounds like Knox is out once again. But yeah, Moss is back as a low-end starter flex type of play. If you're desperate, Devin Singletary. But I think as we've seen since week one, it's kind of been Zach Moss as the best fantasy running back for Buffalo, and I definitely think that's going to continue against the Jaguars.
Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports. We encourage you to check him out throughout the week. Stay caught up to date and beat your boys in your fantasy football league. Jamie, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, as always.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Well, too bad. I am the loudmouth malcontent. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 159. Mightier 1090. Thanks to Jamie Eisenberg for joining us. We'll get back to the UFC updated numbers here and odds. Big fight card at MSG on Saturday. But as far as Odell Beckham is concerned, it doesn't sound like Stefanski wants him around. All right, I think that he's thrown Baker Mayfield under the bus for the last time. Right, I think in their mind they can't have him around. So I think that's evident. They can't have him around. And I've been a big Odell fan. I've defended him to a certain extent over the years. And even in New York, I did. I liked him. But Odell Beckham brings all the problems that Odell Beckham have. He brings upon himself. Like, he brings upon himself. Like, dude, if you want out of Cleveland, then, like, deal with it in the off season. Don't have your father ripping Baker Mayfield on Instagram and you liking it, right? You don't think they see this and they know this, and then they're like, what the hell are you doing, bro? Like, the Cleveland Browns, we've got enough problems, man. We're losing games all the time. Everybody's hurt all the time. Our season's falling apart, and your old man's ripping us and ripping our quarterback. We know our quarterback's struggling, right? Like, it's just, it's a bad team. Like, it's a bad teammate thing. And it's funny because that was a big knock on Odell always, that, you know, he would get criticized by outsiders. But, hell, even Tom Coughlin said, Odell in our locker room is not a problem. And he stressed that. And that's Tom Coughlin. He said, no, man, this kid's in shape. He loves football. He's ready to play. And he said his teammates love him. And he said, then he went on to say, Odell off the field, he said, there's always something. And Odell doesn't get in trouble, but he's always upset. And he doesn't, like I said, like, dude, it's not about you. You're on the Cleveland Browns, and in fact, they got good without you last year, bro. Like, that's another thing. Like, look in the mirror, man. You're always hurt. They got good without you. Everyone knows Baker Mayfield's not great. They don't need you piling on, right? They don't, especially considering you don't do anything for them besides just cause problems. Then I like you. But, you know, dude, like, enough is enough. And I think right now, like I said, word is they're meeting in the morning. And looking, the quote was for a resolution. Well, the resolution is to release him. And, like, Jamie Eisenberg just said it. And Jamie's pretty much in the know. And from what I understand, that's word on the street is that Odell Beckham could be released in the morning. And then he's going to be like Antonio Brown was. He's going to be this free agent in which everybody, oh, Odell this, Odell that, and there's going to be a Super Bowl contender that's going to go, oh, my God, let's get Odell Beckham. Right? We don't even have to pay him anything. The season's halfway over. He already got paid from the Browns. He's in no, what's he going to ask for? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, in what position are you in, Odell? To ask for what? We're not, no, and by the way, we're not giving you, like, you know, Odell has no leverage. That's the thing, Odell. You just sort of got yourself out of C-Town, but you got zero leverage, dude. Like, nobody's giving you a long-term contract now. Nobody. And you're a pretty young dude to be already into the one-year contract thing from now on. I wouldn't give you a two-year deal even. I wouldn't even do it, and I like you. I wouldn't even do it. It would basically be like you tell Odell right now, we'll sign you for the rest of the year if you want to be part of our Super Bowl run. That's it. No, not a year and a half. No, we're not adding next year to it. No, we'll sign you for the rest of the year, and we'll talk after the year if you want, and we'll see what happens. Like, you can't, and then next year you'll see someone will offer him a one-year deal. Someone will say, listen, bro, we'll give you 17, 50, you know, we're not going to stiff you. We'll give you $15 million, but 1 year. You know, 1 year. That's the thing. You know, that's the thing, Odell. Like I said, you didn't handle this well. Like, if you would have just chilled out in the offseason and just told them, listen, I got to go, man. I got to go. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? We got to figure something out. And at least you still have your contract and you're traded. Because what's going to happen, like, I imagine when they say they're meeting, this isn't Odell Beckham. I should clarify that. I doubt Odell Beckham's going into the meeting. It's basically Odell's people and the Browns people. I don't know, it's Stefanski and stuff. Like, it's, I think it's basically lawyer talk. I think they're sitting there figuring how the hell do we get out of this with the limited damage of the Browns? Like, you know what I mean? And I don't know, like, I'm not a lawyer with this stuff. You, God knows, you know what I mean? We flip this and say this and, you know, that cap for this cap and this, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not a capologist. But I'm just telling you right now, that's what's going on there. Like, the lawyers are meeting, and you know they're going over everything and thinking. Because they said Odell's people are resolution, right? And like I said, Jamie Eisenberg said he thinks he's going to pop up somewhere else. I was watching the NFL Network tonight, and they were saying the same thing. They said they think that Odell, they said they're hearing Odell is probably going to get released in the next day or two. So he's going to, guys, you're going to tell me when Odell Beckham's a free agent right now that his phone ain't ringing? Because everyone's going to say the same thing. Yeah, yeah, that was Cleveland. Don't worry about it. Right? But the thing is, and this is where I want to get back to with Odell, and I like him, but remember Odell, you complained about Eli Manning, bro. Right? Eli Manning. And Eli Manning had his faults, but you were like the quickest to like 50 touchdowns. And like, guys, Odell Beckham's numbers in New York were like better than Jerry Rice. Like, Odell Beckham's numbers were like a collision course with the first ballot Hall of Fame with Eli Manning. And you squawked, you know, behind. That's the thing with you. You're nice to everyone's face. Like, it's not like Odell's a jerk to Baker. And it's not like he was a jerk to Eli. But then he'll go on a podcast and he'll sort of say, oh, it'd be nice to have a quarterback with an arm. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, like, you're just a jerk for saying these things. You're like a passive-aggressive jerk. You're a nice guy, but then you rip people behind their back, but publicly, so you know they're going to hear it, but then you're like, oh, man, that's just the media, man. It's like, it's not just the media. It's your effing father, man. Oh, I'm sure your father just did that without you telling him to do that, right? That, oh, yeah, oh, Baker sucks, right? Come on, man. All these guys, too. Michael Thomas, another one. I told you Michael Thomas wouldn't come back. oh, I had a setback. And you know Sean Payton's like, F off, bro. So that's what I'm calling right now. I say Odell Beckham is a New Orleans Saint. That's where he's from. He's wanted to go there. And if you ain't happy with Sean Payton, Michael Thomas, you got, like, Michael Thomas is another one. Michael Thomas was upset. And he played with Drew Brees, and Sean Payton was his coach. These wide receivers are a piece of work. Remember Kelvin Benjamin and that fat-ass guy? Kelvin Benjamin on the Panthers said, yeah, you know, Cam Newton held my career back. Cam Newton held your career back, huh? That guy's sitting in a Popeye's chicken right now, eating all-you-can-eat buffet. Yeah, I can't say that, you know, Reed in Vegas is saying Odell's a phony then. I guess you sort of are, if you know what I mean. Like I said, like Odell doesn't, like that's what I'm saying. Like Odell's not like yelling at Baker Mayfield in practice and stuff. You know what I mean? He's all smiles when he's around people. But like I said, then he'll go on Instagram and he'll have like some cryptic, you know, or someone will rip Baker and he'll like it. And, you know, it's just sort of, it's like, bro, Baker sees that. The Browns social media people see that and report that. Stefanski doesn't know about this stuff, right? He doesn't care, but like, you know what I mean? He knows. They tell him. He'll know. What is Odell saying online? And then they'll have some intern kid say, well, Odell Beckham liked a tweet saying Baker Mayfield sucks. What does like mean? Well, that means he agreed with it, sir. Oh, okay. So he's ripping our quarterback in public, in other words. Yes. Yes, sir. That's what he's doing. Because that's what he's doing. You're ripping our quarterback in public. What kind of teammate are you, bro? And you say you're a good teammate, and everyone says you're a good teammate, but I don't know. You threw Eli Manning under the bus, and Eli was did a hell of a lot more for the New York Giants than you ever did. And now you throw Baker Mayfield under the bus. Baker's trying his hardest. It's not all Baker's fault. I used to rip Baker. Now Baker's trying. What do you want from him? Everybody's been hurt. You know what I mean? If there's no Chubb and there's no Hunt, Baker's not as good. Shocking. Right? What do you want? They know that Baker's not good. They know. Yeah, Case Keenum, Baker knows this. Like, that's the whole thing. Baker's already under enough effing pressure. And now I'm defending Baker, but it's true. He's under enough pressure as it is. You know, you don't think that he knows that Case Keenum is buddies with Stefanski? You don't think he knows that they just won with Case Keenum? Come on, man. You're not helping anybody by piling on him. And everyone knows this in the room. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a lineman, I'd want to punch Odell. Be like, man, Baker's got his own problems already, Odell. We know. You're the one that's always hurt. Like I said, Odell, you're just a pain in the ass. You're not worth it, and I see why now they're just going to cut you. They didn't even like that. And you know what? I don't think anyone wanted to trade for you. I think that was the problem. I think that's what it came down to. Teams are like, yeah, why are we going to trade for this guy and eat up his $14 million a year salary? When, whatever, they're going to cut him. Like, you know football people know what's going on. They're going to be, whatever, dude. They're going to cut him and we'll offer him $1 million to sign for the rest of the year. That's what I would do. If I was the Saints, I'd say, listen, we've got 9 games left? That's fair. $100,000 a game, $1 million. You know what I mean? And honestly, I know that's a little lightly, 2.3. You know what I mean? 2.3 mil. I tell him, listen, we already have a cap. What do you want us to do? You're joining me mid-season here. If you work out, I'll give you a contract next year. Right? Like, that's the thing. And that's a good point by Reed, that Terrell Owens was the same way. Terrell Owens was the same damn way. He acted like he was doing you a favor by showing up. But the thing is, when he showed up, he made plays. And he played in the Super Bowl with a broken leg and could have won the Super Bowl if Donovan McNabb played better. Right? Terrell Owens was wide open. He was 7-11. He was open all night. Right? In that Super Bowl. He had like a broken leg. A broken shin bone, whatever the hell it was. Like T.O. And that was a heroic performance that he played. You know, Odell is hurt all the time, man. And smoking weed on boats and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, dude. Like, you know, like it's just, he's frustrating. Enough with him. But with all that being stated, I think he ends up on the Saints. What other team would Odell go to? I think the Patriots. Let me look now at teams here. I'm not going to punch in where Odell go. I'll do it myself. He ain't going to the Buffalo Bills. He ain't going to the Jets. He ain't going to the Dolphins. Patriots definitely would be on that list. Belichick loves guys like this. Ravens, Harbaugh does not like guys like him. Bengals, no. They're low to a wide receiver. Steelers, no. Browns, well, he's on the Browns. Titans already have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, no. The Colts don't want him. Jags suck. Texans suck. You see what I mean? Like, there's not a ton of places. I like the Raiders. They lost Gruden. You have Henry Ruggs. Do they really want to bring Odell now in? I doubt it. No. They have a good thing in their room, obviously, right? And they're not going to break that up. Chargers are loaded a wide receiver. They're not signing him. The Chiefs are already loaded. The Chiefs don't have any money left. The Broncos suck. There's no reason. Dallas Cowboys are doing great without him.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Eagles suck. Washington suck. He ain't going back to the Giants. The Vikings are loaded a wide receiver. The Bears suck. The Lions suck. The Bucks are loaded. The Saints. I come back to the Saints. The Saints or the 49ers? The 49ers want to make a splash and try to save something here. They've always liked him, too. Lynch has always liked Beckham. Late Night Hager Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. All right, I wasn't planning on talking about Odell that long, but it is whatever. We try to hit everything that's going on, and I do find it interesting. And my boy Venture agrees with San Francisco. Jazz is saying the Niners are done. The Niners winning against the Bears was big. Their season isn't done. There's a 17 games. Now, listen, Jazz is saying in our chat, oh, the Niners aren't winning the Super Bowl. Well, tell that to the players in the room, Jazz. Right? No, I don't think the Niners are winning the Super Bowl either, but go tell that to George Kittle, right? Tell that to Shanahan right now. They're 4-4, bro. There's a lot of football left. And like in the Niners' minds, they're finishing 13-4. Right? Like they're same with Seattle. Like Seattle are screwed, but they got Russell Wilson coming back. And it might be a perfect storm for them. Russell Wilson's coming back next week against the Packers. They're on a bye week this week, Seattle. And then Russell Wilson is back next week against the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers, all it'll take is one bad test, and he's screwed. Like, the 10-day window for Rodgers is he'll be cleared that Sunday morning, essentially. So Rodgers will not be able to practice at all. I don't even think Rodgers will play next week. I don't think they'll risk Rodgers not practicing at all and having COVID. I don't think they'll do it. They'll just say we'll bite the bullet for another. And then plus, I think Jordan Love's going to play well this week. And in fact, I'm calling it right now. Green Bay Packers will beat the Kansas City Chiefs outright. They're going to beat them outright. Jordan Love's going to beat Mahomes. The Packers are going to win this game outright. You don't think anyone? I'm telling you guys right now. How many guys on the Packers think Aaron Rodgers is annoying as hell and are sick of him? How many guys on that team want Jordan Love to do well? To say, you know what? Enough of Rodgers is crap. This guy is nothing but a distraction. You know? A lot of them. Right? And yeah, there's a lot of guys like Davante Adams loves his boy and all that because he wants to whatever. But teams always step up. You don't think the Packers know that everyone thinks they suck without him? They want to shock the world. And they will. Other than that, you're on your own later.
Took you long enough to get here, Sporto.
Now that you've found us,
keep it right here for sports news you can use. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.